to Vian and to her life's argument from strength. Introduction. Leave the rut. The useful art of soul bending. Wish is a form of appetite. Aristotle on the Soul. This book got its start some years ago when I attempted to turn my life around with rhetoric, the art of persuasion. To be honest, my wife Dorothy told me to. She's very smart and I do everything she says, so tapping the wisdom of Aristotle and other sages, I began an ambitious experiment in self-persuasion. The art itself began in the most social of ways, when a bevy of ancient consultants in Greece got rich by helping people win lawsuits and rule the masses through the sheer power of words. These itinerant experts deftly branded themselves the wise ones, sophists. One of them, a massively popular Greek orator exquisitely named Gorgias, made so much money speaking and teaching rhetoric that he allegedly ordered a solid gold statue of himself. It was as if Taylor Swift supplemented her enormous concert revenues by teaching songwriting and then erected a gold statue of herself. Over the centuries, rhetoric went on to inspire democracies, lubricate business deals, and build empires. It empowered the likes of Lincoln and Gandhi and MLK. The American founders used their common schooling in rhetoric to help throw off the yoke of empire and launch a republic. Shakespeare applied the knowledge of rhetoric he acquired at the Stratford Grammar School to do, well, Shakespeare. One of the original liberal arts, rhetoric is partly responsible for what we know as Western civilization. Rhetoric does more than win friends and influence people. The sophists claimed it can bewitch an audience with the practice of psychagogia, or soul moving. The ancient Romans more aptly called it soul bending. The gorgeous Greek Gorgias credited rhetoric with moving the soul of beautiful Helen, along with her body, all the way to Troy, launching those 1,000 ships and sparking the Trojan War. Gorgias played her defense attorney in a mock trial, blaming rhetoric for drugging her. Some years ago, my wife became weirdly convinced that rhetoric's power could help me personally. Dorothy is the kind of dawn-enabled lark who springs out of bed with a cheerful, "Good morning, what are your plans for the day?" And I love her anyway. I, on the other hand, am by nature the kind of geezer we used to make fun of, resenting the state of the world and kids these days. What's more, back then, I was suffering from an ailment called snapping hip syndrome, which begins with a debilitating tightening up of the muscles. You could say the same thing was going on with the rest of me. In my late 50s, I had gotten old beyond my years, drinking too much and growing nostalgic for the good old days when I was an enthusiastic outdoorsman. Worst of all, I was losing my taste for life. I was truly stuck. A relentless booster, Dorothy listed some of the triumphs that had come from my work with the art of rhetoric, helping pediatricians get children vaccinated, enabling NASA to coax mothballed MX missiles from the Pentagon, showing corporations how to recover from their own screw-ups. She leaned in and whispered ecstatically, "And you once got thousands of publishing executives to lick each other." This was not entirely accurate. I had asked 2,000 executives to lick each other. It was in the London Palladium during a tour for my book, How to Argue with a Cat. The stage lights were bright, and I couldn't see the audience, but I did get them to purr. Still, Dorothy believed that my work on the ancient art lacked one helpful angle. "Have you thought of using the tools on yourself?" I shook my head. It was true that whole empowering philosophies, Stoicism and Epicureanism, among others, had been built from the foundations of rhetoric. But rhetoric requires an audience. It stands to reason. Besides, persuasion works best when it disguises itself. No one likes to be manipulated. What kind of persuasion succeeds when both manipulator and manipulatee are the same person? It would be like a magician revealing his fakery during the performance. Here's the woman's torso and the box that doesn't really cut her in half. Dorothy ignored my objections. "What have you got to lose?" With frequent nudging by my wife, I did a deep dive into Aristotle, poring over works that I had passed by in my previous